Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, a very happy Diwali and prosperous New Year to everybody. Welcome to AYM Syntex con call for this quarter. I am happy to announce our last quarter's numbers. So our EBITDA stood at about 29.7 crores, which was an 18% growth over the same quarter last year. The sales were about 220 crores, which was almost a flat number, about a 2% growth over last year. In terms of tonnage, we did about 12,962 tons, which was about a 3.5% growth over the previous year, same quarter. It was a 3.5% decline over, as compared to the previous quarter, which was Q1 2017, and a slight increase over Q2 2016. The EBITDA margins per kilo were slightly higher this time at about 23,000 rupees per ton as compared to 21,000 in the previous quarter. Our PAT numbers have remained flat. They are almost the same. There was a 1% shrinkage at 12.6 crore this quarter. The net debt figure stands at about 200 odd crores. This includes all the long-term liabilities and buyers, suppliers, credit, all LCs, all short-term borrowings, net of all the cash and short-term investments. So that stands at about 200 crores, which gives us a trailing net debt to EBITDA ratio of about 1.72, which is fairly healthy. But you know, we hope to bring this down over the next few years. Last time there was a small concern regarding debtors. I think there were some questions which were asked regarding the debtor figure and also why it went up. So debtors stand at about 55 crores versus 52 crores as of March 2016 and 32 crores as of March 2015. Now this increase of 23 odd crores from March 2015 is mainly on account of we have stopped discounting LCs, which earlier we used to do. So since our cash position has improved over the last 12 odd months, we have stopped discounting some of the LCs which earlier we used to do. As of today, our debtors above 90 days stands at about 3.2 crores and above 180 days stands at about 1.4 crores. So if you add up the two numbers, it's about 4.6 odd crores, which is less than 10% of the debtors more than 90 days. We made a small provision this quarter of about 90-95 lakhs, but we are hoping to recover full or part of that amount. In terms of capex, our calibrated capex continues. All earlier projects, old projects have almost been completed. From a cash flow point of view, there is still some expenditure left, but almost all of them, we have either ordered or awaiting delivery, or it's been commissioned, or et cetera, et cetera. But Project 5, which we had announced a couple of quarters back, progress continues on that front also. So far, we have spent about 11 odd crores. All of this expenditure has been via internal accruals only. So while we have, we have received a banking sanction for this project in a debt equity ratio of about 70% to 30%. But so far, we have not availed of any debt. The plan, internal plan, is to fund this project entirely or as far as possible by internal accruals, and even if we do end up taking debt, we hope to repay some of the old debt. So in principle, we are hoping to maintain the net debt level at 200 to 220 crores, particularly because a lot of these investments are unproductive or they don't add to the top line significantly. So we want to be careful about increasing debt at this time. There is another round of capex which is expected after Project 5. We are working on this project as of now as a company. Again, a significant part of this is likely to be unproductive again, since we are fairly out of space, with respect to available area to expand and to add machines. So this means that barring some positive external forces, we are unlikely to see meaningful top-line growth for at least, next 4 to 6 quarters. In addition to that, the apparel project that we've been working on, for now we put on hold. We believe that it is important to work on our current business, improve the strength of the current business before we take on an additional, you know, before we try to enter into an additional field. While the growth will be limited over the next few quarters, but I think this is an important time for us, and you know, this is the time to actually consolidate and make our business a lot stronger than where we are today. You know, as I've said many times before, the focus continues on developing new and better products, and you know, we are trying to enter a few more segments with where the barriers to entry are slightly higher, demands of quality are higher. And, you know, this is the time which we are going to take in order to weed out some of the unwanted business that we have, or, you know, the low margin or the low barrier to entry kind of business that we have. You know, this is the time to actually, you know, overcome and get rid of all this business. So, you know, this is going to be an important next few quarters for us. On the Wellspun issue, we have had absolutely no impact of all the developments that have happened with Wellspun India. Our business continues as usual. In fact, last quarter we've done one of the highest ever sales that we've done so far to Wellspun. So, you know, for us it's for us, and I guess also for them, it's business as usual. In terms of the near-term outlook, next two to three quarters is looking pretty tough. It's looking a little bit bleak. We expect a dip in the profitability as compared to where we are today. There are several external as well as internal factors which have come together. Some of these issues we had discussed in some of the previous con calls. You know, the nylon was an area that we've been talking about since the last few quarters. Over the last 2 or 3 months, clearly there has been a you know, catching up of competition and significant reduction in prices, which are going to directly lead to erosion of the margins. There has been significant addition of capacity on this front, and this being a fairly commoditized product, the textile nylon being commoditized, you know, it's simply a supply-demand game, and, you know, it seems that since the supply has increased now, the prices have started to come down. Apart from that, the emergency in Turkey has also hit us hard. We had some exposure in the Turkish market in some products, particularly on the yarn dyed side, and business has almost come to a standstill there. Over the last month and a half, 2 months, we've barely received any new orders. You know, I mean, the pipeline on that side is completely almost dry. And as of now, you know, the business as usual has not started, and you know, we have no idea as to when we can get back to normalcy. You know, possibly December, January, February. You know, we don't know how long it will take. Apart from that, the Kaveri issue that had happened in South has also, you know, has had a small impact on our business. The truck movement had, you know, stopped for a few days, and that has impacted our business a little bit in the South. Hopefully that should start becoming normal from this quarter or next quarter onwards. Similarly, the issue in Kashmir has also impacted particularly our carpets business. There has been a curfew again with respect to movement of trucks, and the orders have slowed down. So while it's not come to a standstill, but definitely we are seeing some slowdown in the orders on that front. And nylon, we have already discussed, the prices have dropped. So together, these three or four factors, you know, I think that over the next at least two to three quarters, you know, it's going to impact us in some way or the other. Now, you know, while some of these factors are internal, you know, there is blame that we as management also need to take. You know, we have not been fast enough in developing new products and commercializing new products to counter this effect of these external factors. But overall, I think this drop is going to be positive, because it's going to further align the team towards new product development, and all the more people are going to see the importance of having a diversified and a rich product mix, so that these kind of impacts don't affect us in the future. So overall, the direction of the company, in my opinion, is positive. And you know, I would like to open the floor to any questions that anybody has.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Ravinder Singh from Matrix Investments. Please go ahead.
Happy as you said, that we have a debt of around 200 crores. At the same time, we have current investments of 25 crores and cash of around 21 crores. So what are the plans regarding debt and how do we plan to use this cash going forward?
So right now we don't have any immediate plans to use this cash. I think part of this cash has been kept in the event of any rainy day that might come in the future. But as of now, we have no plans to use this cash.
Mm-hmm.
The 200 figure is including that 25 crores. So the 200 crore figure is actually the net debt figure.
Okay, so it's somewhere around 250 crores.
Yeah, so if you take all the short term and long term, it will come to about 245 to 250 crores.
Okay, okay. And going forward, this can increase to 270 or 280 as we implement the Project 5 and the other expansions.
Yeah, we are hoping to keep the net debt at around where we are. So, you know, internally we have set a guideline for about, you know, anywhere between 200 to 220. So we are calibrating the capex accordingly. We don't want to go overboard.
Sir, why do we call this Project 5 and the further capex as unproductive? It is a substantial amount of 50 crores or 80 crores as mentioned in the last con call also. So what exactly is this huge capex?
See, there are, you know, we have several businesses, particularly in Rakholi, in the Rakholi plant. And, you know, we've got spinning, texturizing, we've got the BCF, heat setting, cabling. So there are lots of different types of investment equipments that we are operating. And currently, whether we talk about spinning, whether we talk about texturizing, whether we talk about BCF, whether we talk about heat setting cabling, we are totally out of space. You know, so all the space that we had in the plant has been completely utilized. And in order to further grow, capacities from here, it's we will have to significantly invest in building. So there are two options here. Either you go one at a time and, try to squeeze equipments, you know, as and when the space arises, or you try and keep a, 5 to 7 year roadmap. And, in that case, you'll have to go in a planned fashion. And in some cases, in order to make sure that your layout is proper and your investments are planned properly, you'll have to make some upfront investment in order to make the space available for the future. So, as we are currently working to develop a warehouse, so the warehouse is significantly expensive. We'll have to build a spinning building, we'll have to build a BCF building, we'll have to build a heat setting cabling building, we'll have to build a new building for texturizing. So, it's a situation where almost everything has come up together at the same time. So, you know, this is one of the reasons why, it is looking like a big sort of capex which has come at the same time. And now, apart from that, there is a significant investment which is also happening in lab and R&D. So lots of investments are happening in pilot lines, for example, which are single position lines or, let's say testing equipments or, small fabric making machines which allow us to make customers' products so that we can test them in-house. And, these investments are also significant and, given the new direction of the company, it's essential that we make these investments today. So, you know, together when you add up everything, it's looking like a big amount, but it's essential that we make these investments today.
Sir, so we can say that 50 crores is for only the building, 50 to 80 crores.
See, I cannot give you the exact figure. There are several things, but I can say that a large part of this 70-75 crores is going into, warehouse or buildings or R&D. So it's not 100% unproductive. There are some new production lines also in both Project 5 and the Project 6 also that we are currently working on. There will be some new lines also, but majority will actually be, these kind of investments.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Before we proceed to the next question, a reminder to the participants, please press star and 1 to ask a question. We have our next question from the line of Manoj Duva, from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Quite a few concerns you raised in the opening remark, and you were also earlier also telling about the competition growing up and the margins will be skewed in commodity products of nylon and polyester. So my question is, what step we have taken to increase the this effect of competition, decrease the effect of the competition, and how much successful we are in that. For example, how much was the specialized product last year, percentage of the sale, and now how much is it today? And my second question is, even this type of, maybe you call it tough period, so how much is our protected sales and the margin even in the most toughest case? Thank you.
It's a good question. So by next quarter, I think we should be able to give you figures as to breakup of figures, you know, what percentage of our sales is coming from innovations, what percentage of our sales is coming from specialized products or products where there are, you know, higher entry barriers as compared to regular products. You know, so certainly our business is mixed. We have a certain exposure to commodity products also, and you know, a good percentage of the business is also coming from segments where you know, there are certain entry barriers, and you know, competition can't just add lines and take share away from us. Endeavor is to add more such business. You know, work is going on multiple fronts. One is you know, there is a drive in the company for new product development. So a couple of you know, we are trying to commercialize several new products. Now the reason why I don't want to talk about these products openly, because you know, many of these products are currently under commercialization. We don't know how successful they will be. Some might succeed, some might fail. But certainly, you know, I believe that we are moving in the in a positive direction on that front. So, you know, certain new products are under development. The other thing that we are trying to work on is exports. So there are certain customers outside of India who, you know, have a higher requirement of quality, and you know, they have a certain entry barrier kind of thing where you can't just add a line and you can't just take business by reducing the prices. So there are several such customers that we are targeting in certain segments which are more sensitive, which will allow us to you know, to build a business which is not just commoditized. It will be more long term in nature. So this is an endeavor that we are taking up, not just in our BCF business, but also in our textile business. And finally, there are certain segments of markets that we are focusing on, both in BCF as well as textiles, you know, which are you know, which are more sensitive in nature, and whether be it in India or be it outside, you know, the competition in these segments is less because there are certain peculiarities of these products, and you know, by being present in these segments, again, we hope to have a longer term business with higher margins going into the future. So these are two or three of the things that we are trying to do in order to come out of this commoditized business.
Okay, let me rephrase. My second part of the question was basically, as a shareholder, we look for the growth and the profitability, but at the same time, when we see the competition, we try to analyze what is our protected sales, how much even if they go bad, the sales could be there, how much of the margin could be there in the tough time.
I don't quite understand your question. Can you, what is the question there?
The question is basically, so the margin competition is increasing and already coffee pressure is there in terms of margin. So do you feel this the present condition is around the bottom in terms of margin, or it can deteriorate more further? How much our company will do even in the case of the tough time?
No, I don't want to venture out and give a projected kind of figure. You know, I can tell you, you know, the time is pretty tough right now. You know, I don't know whether, you know, I don't know how far below the margins can go. Certainly, it's not tough in all the businesses. There is one part of the business, particularly nylon, where we are facing issues with margins. Rest of our business, I think, more or less, it continues as usual. You know, in general, I will say that, I will not like to predict, you know, what is the bottom and, you know, what can be the worst case scenario, et cetera, et cetera. So all I can say is that we would like to prepare for the worst.
Okay. My last question is, you're doing some new CapEx, which is, you said, unproductive in nature. Will we classify it as a new project, that our all the CapEx amount we are spending will be used as a work in progress, and depreciation and interest would be added to that new project, or it will be just capitalized, depreciation and interest would be of that project will be started, will be taken in P&L?
No, we go by the standard accounting standards. As and when the project gets commercialized or as it's commissioned, you know, it comes into the balance sheet and the depreciation starts.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Happy Diwali and Happy New Year.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, please press star and one to ask a question. We take our next question from the line of Ayush Mittal from Mittal & Co. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ayush.
It's good to see a consistent performance from the company despite growing competition. When we look at the competitive landscape, we are seeing that several companies which are pure polyester yarn companies, FDY companies, texturizing companies are doing pretty well at this point of time and their margins have expanded. So there's a related question that when the delta expands for the base product, commodity products, how does it affect for the value-added products which you might be doing? Shouldn't that also expand for you, which we haven't seen in this quarter or so?
I don't think, I mean, I don't know if there is any direct correlation between between the two businesses. So a lot of this commodity business goes in certain segments of the market and, you know, many a times these segments have no correlation to some other segments where there is more sensitive, where there are more sensitive customers. So I don't know if there is a direct correlation between margins in the commodity business and margins in more sensitive areas. So I am not certain if margins go up over here, it will directly impact margins elsewhere. See, in the commodity business, it's basically a supply-demand game, and there are, you know, sometimes there is a higher demand in certain products and the supply is less, so prices shoot up, and many a times there are no entry barriers in many of these businesses, and you know, in 6 months maybe another competitor expands his capacity and the margins then start leveling out. So whereas in some other businesses which we are trying to aim, you know, it is not simply a supply demand situation. You know, there are certain approvals that you need to gain, there are certain hoops that you need to jump through, there are certain standards that you need to qualify for, and certain quality of products that we need to make before you can actually supply to these customers, and many a times they are independent of what is actually happening in the commodity market. So I mean, that is my view.
Can you give us an idea how much of contribution in the turnover we are still getting from products such as FDY, texturizing, or and the nylon segment on which you are fearful on the competition?
So by next quarter we should have a meaningful figure to give you, where, you know, we can say that, you know, this is a business where we feel that margins are more long term in nature, this is the business where we feel it's more commoditized. But one thing I will caution you against is just because a product is texturized or just because a product is nylon, it doesn't make commodity. There are certain, you know, when I say nylon, I just talk in general, you know, our exposure is more in nylon towards commodity. We have certain value-added products also, but in general, our exposure is more towards commodity. That's why I say that, you know, nylon is more commoditized, because our exposure is more towards commodity. But in general, nylon does not, you know, nylon does not equal to commodity. So even when you make a texturized product, you know, it's not automatically commodity. You know, you can always make some value-added texturizing product, many of which we are today making. So, you know, I will caution you against coming to that, you know, hypothesis. But by next quarter, I should hopefully give you some figures.
How much was the export turnover in this quarter, or any number on that?
You know, hopefully by the end of the call, I can share that number.
Any new client wins or any new products which we have mentioned in past, any success on that?
Yeah, so there are couple of products which we have commercialized, Comfeel, where we have started to get repeat, you know, these are innovative products made by AYM. They are not available in India anywhere else. But they've just started to get commercialized, so we executed trial orders, we first executed sample orders, then we executed some trial orders, and now we started to get small quantity of bulk orders. They are not meaningful at all in the overall picture, the quantities, volumes are too little, but we are getting a meaningful, you know, a positive customer response. So, you know, only time will tell how successful these are, whether it will be successful with everybody or few customers, etc., etc. Also, lots of new customers have been added, particularly on the, you know, on the BCF side also, we've added a couple of important new customers, and, you know, also on the textile side, we've added a few customers, and you know, hopefully, you know, the next 12 odd months, a lot of this new customer addition, you know, should take place. So I am hopeful that the direction which we are taking, it's a positive direction, and you know, it should you know, at least make up for the loss of margins that we will have, you know, when we face in with this nylon situation and Turkey situation, etc.
So to service these new customers, as we don't have too much of capacity, will we weed out the past business and do this business, or we'll need to do some capex as we start getting volumes?
So you know, over the next 4 to 6 quarters, more of the business that will be added will be by weeding out certain unproductive or low entry barrier or low margin business, and after that, I think once we have our infrastructure in place and a better product mix in place, then you know, we can always add capacity and add lines. At this point in time, neither we have the place to add the lines, and nor, you know, we want to add the lines, because you know, first we want to have a better product mix before we actually start adding lines in a big way. But at the same time, in some small areas, you know, in some small way, we are adding capacity. So one line here, one line there, you know, one texturizing line here, one texturizing line there. You know, a few capacity additions are taking place to a small extent, but nothing significant.
Hans mentioned our own brand, something like that. Any details on that?
You mean as a end consumer product? You mean a brand as an end consumer product, or
like
as
a website? There, Comfeel, Beleaf, Azura, Spinovate.
Yeah, so these are some of our new innovative products. These are some of these products which we are trying to commercialize. So, for example, Comfeel and Beleaf, both of these yarns we have recently developed, and you know, we have started to take trials with customers. In some cases, we have started to receive some small sample orders, trial orders, in some cases commercial orders also. These are some business-to-business brands that we have. They are not consumer brands as yet. You know, some of these brands are actually part of our innovative product mix. I'm glad that you went through our website and took notice of this.
It's a nice website now. But in B2B, brands can be there like these, which can earn you better margins or something like that going forward.
See, as long as you're doing something different and, you know, the customer sees the value in the product, you know, you can always have, little bit better margins as compared to your competitors. And also, if you are first in the market with some of these products, so, you know, many of these products, many of these brands, we are actually first to the market, particularly in the Indian market. You know, maybe in the global context, we might not be first in some of these products. But in the Indian context, certainly we are, we are the first people to take this product to the Indian market. So, that first mover advantage is there. And, you know, number two, you know, when you've done all the testing and, you know, when you're confident about what you're offering to the customer, and the customer is able to see it, then certainly he will pay you a little bit higher than your competition. But right now, for some of these products, albeit which has a very low volume, very, very low volume, almost an insignificant volume, but they are absolutely innovative products for which we have no competition right now.
But whenever you bring something like this new, what is the biggest challenge? Is it the price? Is it the acceptability from customers to make a meaningful impact? What is the biggest challenge? And what is the opportunity?
It's several things, actually. See, it's number one, you know, when you start with a new product, you know, the runnability of that product, you know, how you create that product inside your company, because there is no prior knowledge which is available to make that product. So that is the number one challenge, that how do you get the know-how, or how do you develop the know-how in-house, proprietary, so that you can make these products in the first place. After that, you have to look, you know, you can make some amazing product, but it has to be relevant to the customer. So the second challenge is that, you know, it has to be, the product has to be relevant to a certain need of the customer. So for this product, you need to identify a particular application, or you have to identify a particular area where it can be most relevant. Because needless to say, if you do innovation, you want to sell the yarn at a price which makes sense for you. So, and needless to say, if it's a new product, where volumes are going to be small, and you know, the complications are going to be there in the process, and you know, there is going to be something proprietary, the prices are definitely going to be higher. So the third challenge is, of course, to convince the customer about the price benefit. So that, suppose you're offering a a new product. So is there a value behind that new product? So suppose your original product was 100, now you're offering a product at 120. So the customer has to get a value of 140, only then he will pay that extra 20 rupees, because then he's getting that extra 20 rupees value. If he's only getting 20 rupees value, then he doesn't, it makes very little sense for him to, let's say, switch over from the original product or take effort to develop, because, you know, for him he's making as much as he's making by using the commodity yarns or using the existing yarn. So several challenges exist, and then, you know, he has to be able to convince his end customer. We have a long supply chain, so we've got first, let's say the knitters and weavers, then from the knitters and weavers it goes to, let's say, the dyeing houses, from the dyeing houses it goes to the garmenters, from the garmenters it goes to the brands. So there are several people in the value chain and everybody needs to be convinced. So this is an extremely lengthy process, you know, it takes several months, sometimes even years, you know, before even the material will reach the end consumer. And finally, the brand has to be convinced that, this is something where, we can offer some value to the end consumer. So, you know, a lot of things are there which we have to overcome in order to commercialize a new product. So that's why I'm a little bit more skeptical, and, you know, I don't want to give any guidelines that, you know, we will have so many sales from innovations, et cetera, because we don't know, honestly.
Okay, great. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we proceed to the next question, a reminder to the participants, please press star and 1 to ask a question.
19%.
We take our next question from the line of Abhilasha Satale from First Global Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello sir. I just wanted to know, what is capacity utilization for each of our business, for each of our segment, and how much, like, Turkey forms... forms a part of our revenue, like how much is Turkey is contributing to total revenue?
See, the capacity utilization, I would say, depending on different areas, BCF or Palghar or texturizing and spinning, more or less we run the lines full actually. So, what happens when such a situation happens is, you know, we are forced to move to certain less margin or commoditized products, you know, when we lose business. But, you know, more or less 85% to 90% at least we are maintaining the capacity utilization, in some cases even 95%. As far as Turkey goes, I think, it's not a big part of our sales when it comes to, our Rakholi business, but it's, you can say that, about 10 to 15% of our Palghar sales comes from Turkey. So from Palghar angle, it has actually impacted us.
Okay, and how much like Palghar is to our total revenue?
That we don't share, ma'am. As of yet, we don't share that.
Okay, sure. Sir, in terms of margins, although you have explained in details that, it will have some impact in future quarters or so, but is there any flow to that? I mean, would you be having any sustainable margin guidance, suppose in the range of, whatever like range, if you could just give us, if you could share with us?
I would take caution and, I don't want to give any range or anything like that, because in a lot of the cases we are venturing out into uncharted territory. In a lot of cases we have never done that before, or we have very little experience in doing that business. You know, particularly BCF for us is only about 4 years old. So we don't have experience over an entire cycle or over, long 5, 7, 10 years period of time. And in any case, I would not want to venture out and give a figure that, this is a sustainable margin, or, there are always certain external factors which will be there, which will throw your projections out of the window. So, I would caution myself against giving out such a figure.
Okay. Fine, sir. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from the line of Ayush Mittal from Mittal & Co. Please go ahead.
Basically, while going through the annual report, we could notice that the R&D expense is very high. All of this is capital in nature, or how much would be the revenue part which you would have expensed into the profit and loss account last year or in the current year? Any idea about that?
So we'll have to take this figure out. How much is you know, how much is capitalized, how much is the revenue item. But in principle, I can tell you that it's a mixture of both. You know, whenever the R&D takes place, there are two types of investment. One is where you are investing in the equipment, you know, where you are investing in plant and machinery which cannot be used for commercial production or it's unlikely to be used for commercial production. And secondly, you know, there is investment in running the line. So, for example, in order to commercialize one Comfeel, you know, we have to take several trials, you know, and this creates a lot of downgrades, wastages, you know, material that has to be sold at low grade, as a low grade or as a, you know, cheap product at a discounted value. And all this is a part of an R&D cost. And apart from that, there is also salaries which we pay to the to certain manpower in the company and certain staff in the company, which is part of the R&D team, whose, you know, sole job is to run the R&D department, let's say. So it's a mixture of all things which you know, which contributes to the R&D expense.
But the manpower, salary, the raw material cost, anything, are we accounting on that part or not till now?
So that will all come in the P&L account. Regarding what we have capitalized, I can get back to you as to the exact, you know, what exactly are the details of those capitalized items. With respect to your previous question of exports, we are at about 38.4 crores of exports. About 18% of our sales have come from exports last quarter.
So this has dipped quarter on quarter maybe. Last quarter you did 43 crore.
Yeah, yeah. So last quarter was about 42.97. This quarter was about 38.37.
And what was the previous year number? Do you have that?
Previous year, 15-16 was about 197 odd crores, 196.86.
September quarter?
This I'm talking about 15-16.
September quarter? 15-16.
No, no, this is 15, this is the calendar, financial year 15-16, 196 crore.
Yeah.
So the June quarter was 43 crores and September quarter was 38 crores.
Okay. And coming to the R&D part question, like last year 20 odd crore was expended. Can you come back if that was capital in nature and how much was capitalized and how much was spent through the P&L?
We can take this up offline, Ayush, if you don't mind. We can discuss the figure offline or we can share with you what exactly are the details of those figures.
Yeah, and another question that I had, as the crude price is bouncing back, does that help increase the end selling price like it had depressed earlier?
So as you know, we've been discussing, in many cases our prices are linked directly with the raw material. So in those cases, I think it's an automatic follow through. In some cases, we have to struggle a little bit harder in order to get the price increases. In some cases, we might not even be able to get the price increases if it is a little bit sensitive or, you know, where we are already under pressure or something like that. But it will be a mix of, you know, everything. But in principle, you can say that overall the prices will move in line with where the raw material will go.
And you had earlier announced about the progress of the expansions done in the dyeing capacity, a new nylon line, some trouble in the BCF. Any updates on that progress?
So BCF, touch wood, you know, that our team has worked very, very hard over the last 3 to 6 months. And, you know, they've been, you know, very, let's say, quite successful in overcoming some of the issues that we had in the last year. Many of our customers are pretty happy with where we stand on our quality, and you know, we hope to add business there, particularly in a challenging market. This, you know, even the BCF global market is quite challenging, and you know, in that challenging market, we are hoping to add a few new customers, and you know, that is a testament to the to the belief that the customer has, or the trust that the customer has in our quality. So last, I think, few months, the team has worked very hard, and you know, customers are in general, they are quite happy. In Palghar, I think it is a more systemic issue. It is a more more a know-how related issue. So there are you know, the process that we have started to take, the new plant that we have implemented. There are two ways to run the plant. One is the older kind of way, and one is the new way. So you know, we can run the plant in an older kind of fashion without getting into too much technical details, and you know, we can use that we can use that facility, and we are using part of that facility in the older fashion. But the challenge is to run it in a in a different way, you know, the way it was in which it was meant to run. So from that front, I think it is a more systemic issue. It will take some time in order to resolve, but in principle we are ready to use that new plant that we have commissioned, and we have already started using it for certain customers' orders. So I would say there is no concern that is left in both the issues, either Palghar or BCF.
That's great. Another question I had was that the company has been there since very long, and the plant, machine, the employees and everything, many of the things would be legacy in nature. Any issues that you have seen which calls for impairment of the machines or something on those lines, or bring about the change in the culture of the company? Any thoughts on these two lines?
Okay, so the machines and the culture, they are two different questions. I'll answer the question on the machines first. So absolutely, you have pointed rightly that a lot of the machines are fairly old, but our previous over the last 20 odd years, the senior management, our chairman as well as our ex-chairman, they have both been very using their foresight, they have invested in the best European and German and Austrian and Swiss machinery, and these are quite robust in nature, and they have lasted so far, and they are likely to last for also a long period of time. So while some of the machinery is old, always there will be new developments in technology, and I am having an efficiency of 96%, someone else might have an efficiency of 97% or something like that, but in principle many of these lines, they are operating in a proper way. There are certain cases, some areas where we have small concerns, nothing major, where the equipments are quite old. So over there we might have to take a call that we want to scrap the equipment and go for a new equipment or something like that. But I don't think there is anything major as such that we have anything in plans for the next 2 or 3 years, anything significant which is going to cause a significant capex.
Because almost 9-10 odd crore goes into repair and maintenance expense in your P&L.
Yes, so that will be continuing. That is something which is part of our P&L. So that is we expense that out. We don't capitalize that. So that is part of the regular routine capex and routine maintenance, which in many cases even a new plant will have. So if you want to maintain the machinery in a good condition, that's an expense that you will always have to commit.
Okay, on the culture part.
On the culture part, that's a fantastic question. I think that is an area that I feel happy with the progress that we made in our company. And historically, large part of our business has come from commoditized area. Even today, good part of our business, is coming from commodities. And there is a certain culture and there is a certain mindset which is required in order to sell a commodity. In order to Trump, in order to win in the commodity game, the entire focus has to be in cost. But the new challenge that we have taken up as a company, or the new direction that we are trying to take as a company, cost is not the only area that we can focus. I mean, cost is always important, but quality is always going to be the number one criteria which is going to help the customer to decide whether he wants to do business with you or no. And this has a completely different requirement of a mindset as compared to the commoditized mindset. So there are certain way that you need to run the plant in order to be able to satisfy the demand of this customer, and this is exactly what I'm trying to talk about in the last few con calls, that this is the kind of business that we need to gain. And it is not just about adding a machine, it is about changing the entire way that the quality system works, how you do the checking, how you control the process. So there are several things that that come into the factor, in order to bring, in order to give the right quality of product to the customers that we are targeting. So, here we've been able to make good progress. Lot of mindset change, has happened in the company. Lot of mindset change is underway. We have added, lot of fresh talent which have brought this kind of mindset to the company, and we are hoping to recruit more people also. And at the same time, from top to bottom, everybody is very aware. Everybody in the company is aware that, this is the direction of the company. So we have shared our vision, as senior management, we have created a 5-year vision, and we have shared it to the last person in the organization, even to the operators of the machine, even they are aware what direction we are taking as a company. And So, you know, with that increased awareness, you know, that positive change, I am able to personally see in the in the plant. But, you know, I don't want to give a wrong impression. We have a long way to go, particularly in Palghar. Also in Rakholi, but particularly in Palghar, there is a long way to go. But the direction, I am confident, is positive.
Great. Thanks a lot and wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rohit Balakrishnan from Rare Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Rohit.
Hi, everybody. Most of my questions have been answered. It just would be great if you can give that breakup of P&L and balance sheet on your R&D. That will be helpful. Just one last question.
Mr. Balakrishnan, sorry to interrupt you in the conference, but your voice is not audible to the participants. May I request you to speak loudly?
Is it better now?
It is better now.
Yeah, so I was just saying most of my questions were answered. I would be glad if you can also share the breakup of the R&D expense between P&L and balance sheet. That would be helpful. Just another question that I had was, so you'd flagged off that the margins may actually you're facing some headwinds on a lot of fronts. So just want to understand, has this the quarter that went by, did those headwinds were there as well, or this is something which you think has accelerated since the last quarter?
I think part, very small part of that, you know, we could start to experience this in October particularly, but obviously some of this has been happening for the last 3 or 4 months, but I think from this quarter we are going to see a dip. So, you know, if that answers your question, from our current quarter onwards we are going to start to see a dip. So this quarter definitely, you know, there is a bigger impact as compared to the last quarter.
Okay. So, related question is that if we look at our expenses also, we have increased, like for example, our personal expenses have gone up from 5% to 7%. 5 was in FY15 and in the first half it has gone to 7. Similarly, our other expenses have gone up from 22-23% to about 27% in the last 1.5 years. Obviously, these are investments that we are doing towards the kind of transition that we want to see. Given that we will see a dip in the margins, do we see that these investments will sort of take a step back, or do you think that this is needed to sort of still continue the transition?
No, I think that in principle our long term journey will continue. I don't think that these short term blips will make us move from the path that we have chosen. Adding of talent and making sure that we have the right people in the right places, you know, that activity will continue. To a large extent, we have created a new, lots of new members have been added to the AYM family. And, we've carried out a majority part of the journey already, but I think little bit more, there is still some small part of the journey which is still to be left, completed. In terms of some of the other things, you know, there are a lot of activities that we are doing which, there is a cost to it, in the immediate term, but the return doesn't, immediately show up, So some of it will take time for it to show on the P&L, but we cannot stop those activities and midway just because there is some, short-term impact in the profitability or anything. I mean, those kind of things will have to continue.
Sure. All the very best. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from line of Anand Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, and thanks for the opportunity. My question mainly here is around the innovation section that I see on the website. We have around 10 products listed here. So, A is that on what basis do we select a product? How does the entire process of selecting a product and bringing it to market happens? And B is how difficult it is for someone to copy it?
There are several answers to that question. There is no easy way to answer it. But how difficult it is to copy, it depends on various factors. So in some cases, the products itself are quite complicated and it can be quite challenging for someone to to copy the product. In some cases, the products can be easily copied. In some cases, you know, these innovations require a newer type of customer to sell because the application demands it. And those customers are not customers that will easily switch over. So, but in some cases, those customers will easily switch over. So, part of these innovations will be, you know, it will be kind of a continuous running, you know, running process. You know, I think many people, they call it like, I think they call it the Red Queen effect. You know, so in some cases, it will be that, but our endeavor to a large extent is that we are trying to commercialize these products in areas where we are going to have a long duration of time where the margins can sustain for a longer duration of time, where either the product is too complicated or quite complicated to copy, or there is some proprietary know-how involved, or the customers are quite difficult, in nature, and they have certain requirements which are not easy to fulfill. But in some cases, we will always have products which can be copied within 2 years or 3 years. But in principle, while the product might be easy to copy, but, you know, you have to understand that in order to create this culture and in order to have this continuous flow, a lot of things have to change in the company. You know, the organization has to be set up according to that. So, for example, there are certain products which we are trying to commercialize now, which we can commercialize, because we have a certain kind of infrastructure in place, which almost nobody has in the country. So even if they want to commercialize those products, they want to copy our products, they will have to invest in certain new plant and machinery, which is very difficult to do in a new business, you know. So if it is an established product, established market, you can give that justification. But, you know, if it is too new a product, it can be quite difficult for someone to justify that investment and then to come in and try to replace our business. It will be always, you know, being a first mover, it will always be at a lower price as compared to where we are currently selling or where we will be currently selling. So it will be a mix of few things. So some of the innovations will be copied, some of the innovations it will be more difficult to copy, but in general that culture will be very hard to copy. So, you know, we have several products under development, so even if one is copied, there is another product already in the pipeline. And even if it is copied by one, the margin is not going to reduce immediately the next day. You know, so it will take time before the entire market starts seeing that product, and, you know, one and then the second and then the third and then the fourth and then the fifth person copies it. It's not a, you know, it will not happen instantly. But in general, in some products will be easy to copy also. So it's a mix of everything.
The other question that I had, or the first question that I had is, you know, how do you identify, on what basis do you go for commercialization of a product? Do you see the opportunity size, what is the minimum opportunity size that you see for each product before you commercialize or you think of commercializing?
So, there are two ways. One is we do the inside-out approach, and the other is the outside-in approach. So in some cases, our customers have asked us, this is a problem that we have. Can you help us to solve this problem? So, you know, we will try to develop a product which can help them to solve that problem. Or in the other case, we will say that, okay, this is a product that we are making, you know, for this particular application, or this is a product that we are making here, or, you know, this is a new type of idea. In what way can we commercialize this new idea? So, you know, it happens in both ways. In principle, right now we don't have a very effective gate mechanism where we are saying that, okay, below this opportunity size, we are not going to commercialize anything, because we are not in that condition so far. So we have lots of business which is coming from commoditized segments, and luckily for us, our business is set up in such a way that we are able to handle small lots also. So, anything and everything that, if we have something new, if we have a novel idea, anything and everything, we are trying to commercialize it, you know, as long as it makes sense, as long as it makes commercial sense. So, this is my thought on your question.
Okay, thank you. That answers.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rukun Tara Chandi from Kotak Mahindra Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, you mentioned that you expect a dip from here on in the quarterly run rate, and largely because of the margin pressures in nylon. But at the same time, you were talking about your new innovative products starting to commercialize. So is it fair to assume that when you are talking about the dip, you're not incorporating any major profitability boost from the innovative products?
No, I can safely say that these products, many of the products that you see on our website also, you know, they are not going to form, you know, apart from maybe a couple of them which have been commercialized for a little bit longer duration, you know, we are not going to see major jump in contribution from these products anytime in the near future. So, you know, as I said, commercializing some of these products is a long drawn affair, and it requires not only new product development, but it also requires us to find a new set of customers which don't exist in our portfolio today. So it's a twofold effort, and it's a very, very time consuming, it's a very, very time consuming process. So, the dip that I'm talking about, it excludes this, but I don't think you should factor that into your calculations or Excel or whatever, that, you should not factor in that, okay, you will get these extra sales from these new products. That will take time.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from the line of Manoj Dua, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, what is the contribution of nylon to our total sales in which we are facing particularly more competition?
Sir, sorry to interrupt you in the conference. Your voice is not audible to the participants. May I please request you to use the handset?
I'm using the handset? Okay. How much is the contribution of nylon to the total sales in which we are facing a higher, more competition?
As I said before, we don't share the breakup of our various businesses. But I can say that it forms it's one of the four important parts of our business today.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Mandavewala for closing comments.
Thank you everybody for joining in. Once again, wish you a very happy Diwali and a prosperous New Year. See you next quarter.
Ladies and gentlemen,